Turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I hope that I am approaching this message, and I hope I approach every message I preach with fear. Paul said to the church at Corinth, I was with you in weakness, conscious of my own weakness, and with fear, and with much trembling. And I hope that's my attitude in preaching the gospel. If it's not, it ought to be. I know that. And here's why I say that. Paul said in verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, can you see why I'm afraid? Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And it could just as easily be said, woe is unto you if I do preach the gospel and you don't believe it.
Amen.
Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Now, I fear misrepresenting God. I really do. I'm scared of that. And I fear darkening counsel with words without knowledge. I've entitled this message, Preach the Gospel. Preach the Gospel. And wouldn't it be something if we can leave this place having heard the Gospel preached?
Yes.
There could be no greater blessing. Now, Paul said in verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
Yes,
but I have used none of these things. I didn't seek support. Neither have I written these things that it should be done so unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Now, Paul is saying, although I have the right to be supported as a preacher of the gospel, I have refused to take that support. Woe to the preacher who merely preaches for a paycheck.
Oh my.
Woe to that preacher. Now, Paul says in verse 16, although I do preach the gospel, and we're going to consider what that means in a few moments. He says, though I do preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I can't glory in that. There is nothing meritorious in me in preaching the gospel. You know, if I have a gift to preach the gospel, it's just that, a gift. It's nothing that I can glory in or take pride in. It's just a gift. I certainly have nothing to personally glory in. Paul says necessity is laid upon me. It's not like I have a choice in this thing. Yea, woe. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, every time the word woe is used, it is used without exception with a reference to eternal condemnation. Now that's serious. Paul says, if I don't preach the gospel, I will be eternally condemned. Well, that's scary. That's scary. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, here's the question I want us to consider first. What is the gospel? A more important question could not be considered. And you know that God uses the whole Bible to answer that question. This is a big book. And He uses the entire book to answer that question. What is the gospel? Now the word gospel means good news or glad tidings. You know what good news is? It's the opposite of bad news. It's good news. Now the gospel is not good news to everybody. You know that as well as I do. But it is good news to those it's good news to. Now it is good news to those that it is good news to. Now there are a lot of different passages of Scripture we could go to get a scriptural definition of the gospel. But this evening I'd like for us to turn for a moment to Romans chapter 1. I want to look at this passage of Scripture for a few moments to try to define, as the Word of God defines, the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, this passage of Scripture answers that question. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel. The definite article "the" is used. The gospel. The gospel that excludes anything that is not it.
Amen.
Now that's the gospel. It excludes anything that is not it. Hold your fingers there in Romans chapter 1 and turn to Galatians chapter 1 for just a moment. Verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert or would change or would modify the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, sent to hell, anathematized without mercy. Was Paul being mean-spirited when he said that? Let's go on reading. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you've received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, I assure you this, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's not derived from any human source. The gospel. The definite article. The gospel that excludes anything that is not exactly what it is. Back to Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God. He is the author of it. He is the subject of it. And it is for His glory. It's the gospel of God. Verse 2. He goes on to further define the gospel. It's the gospel which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It's the gospel of the Scriptures. It is not a subjective message. Well, here's what's gospel to me, or here's what's gospel to you. No, it's an objective message. It's the message of the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
And look what he says in verse 3. It's the gospel concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He Himself is the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus Christ Himself is the gospel. Now look down in verse 15 of Romans chapter 1. He says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the gospel that I'm not ashamed of. Now, there's a lot of things I'm ashamed of. I'm ashamed of myself. And I have a whole lot more reason to be ashamed of myself than I realize. But I'm ashamed of myself. I am. I'm ashamed to be identified with religion. You know, I when it comes to being out in public, I try to stay incognito. I don't want them to know I'm a preacher. I know what's going to happen when they find out. I know all the stupid questions they're going to ask me and all the dumb things they're going to say. I try to keep. I don't want to be identified that way. I stay low. Keep my head down. A lot of things I'm ashamed of, but I tell you this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Do you know the gospel that we believe, the gospel of the Scriptures, is a gospel worthy of God?
Amen.
Now that's altogether glorious, isn't it? The gospel we believe. I'm not ashamed. As a matter of fact, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the gospel that gives Christ all the glory and none to man. I'm proud of that gospel. I really am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This is the gospel that actually saves. It doesn't merely make salvation possible if I do my part. That kind of gospel won't do me any good. This is the gospel that actually saves. Now, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. This is the gospel that's to be believed. Now, listen to me real carefully. You and I are to believe the gospel.
Yes, sir.
It's true.
Yeah.
Should we not believe the truth? If it's true, we're bound to believe the truth.
Yes.
This is the gospel that's to be believed. And I expect people to believe it. It's the truth. I expect you to believe this. You ought to believe the truth, shouldn't you? It's the gospel that's to be believed. Now, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now here's a phrase that I wish I could talk about the way it ought to be talked about. The righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Well, it's God's righteousness. It's God's righteousness. You know, David said in Psalm 71:16, I like this verse of Scripture. David said, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Why, David? Because that's the only righteousness there is. The righteousness of God. Now, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, nailed to a cross, bleeding and dying. They take him down dead. 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. The righteousness of God. Now, I see his righteous character. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, sin was on him. The sins of his people became his. And when he died under the righteousness of God. He deserved to die. The righteousness of God demanded his salvation. He became sin before his Father. The sins of his people so truly became his. It's not as if they were his. They were his.
Amen.
And it was the righteousness of God that smote him and killed him. That's how righteous God is. When sin is found even on His Son, the righteousness of God. You can't come into God's presence without a perfect righteousness. God won't have anything to do with you. You must be perfectly righteous. The gospel declares the righteousness of God. I see this righteousness needed, but thank God I see this righteousness provided too. The perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. His life. His law keeping. You know what it is? It's the righteousness of God. And just as truly as the sins of His people became His, the righteousness of God becomes theirs. So much so that God Himself said, their righteousness is of me. Their personal righteousness. We're talking about my righteousness. You know what my righteousness is? God's righteousness. Well, it's hard to get hold of it. But it's the truth. This is my confidence. This is why I can come into God's presence with boldness.
Yeah.
I don't have any sin. I'm the very righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. When God comes looking for me, there's only one way I want Him to find me. I don't want Him to find me on my knees. I don't want Him to find me reading the Bible or witnessing or all the kind of stuff that we think would be great if He find us doing. I want Him to find me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Therein, in the gospel, is the very righteousness of God revealed. Now, I'd like to try to give you some scriptural descriptions of the gospel that Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. We read in Galatians 2:14 of the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. You know, the gospel is the truth. You want to know the truth? You want to know the truth about you? Don't look within your own heart. You won't find out the own truth, the truth about you. Not really. You'll come up with something better than what's really there. If you want to find out the truth about yourself, you look to the cross. If God let me do what I do, I'd murder His Son. And that's the truth about me. That's the truth about you. You want to know the truth about the true character of God? Look to the cross. How holy is God? How just is God? How powerful is God? How gracious is God? How merciful is God? The cross answers all that.
Yes, sir.
You want to know the truth regarding salvation? Christ Jesus is salvation. He accomplished salvation on me. You want to know the truth of the gospel. I love that phrase. And then we read in Ephesians 6:15 of the mystery of the gospel. You know, the gospel is mysterious. It's mysterious. It's so awesome. It's so awe-inspiring. It's a mystery that we would never have known unless God was pleased to make it known. And it's just majestic. It's mysterious. I mean, what I'm talking about, when I talk about Christ being made sin, I don't have any idea what I'm talking about. When I talk about me being made the righteousness of God, I believe it, but as far as understanding it, I believe it. That's about as far as it goes. I believe it. It's mysterious. It's all... You know, if this is something we could figure out, there wouldn't be that much to it. If I could understand all this and comprehend it completely, there just wouldn't be much to it. But it's mysterious. But I understand this about God's mystery. Mystery doesn't mean I don't know. It's truth God revealed. It's not truth concealed. It's truth revealed. The mystery of the gospel. And then it's called in Revelation 14:6 the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel. What it always was, it is. And what it is, it always will be. It never had a beginning, and it will never have an end. It's the everlasting gospel. It's never changed. It's never modified. It's never adapted. It's the everlasting gospel. You know, we don't need to worry about packaging it in different ways to appeal to people. Don't care a lick about that. We just preach God's everlasting gospel. And then it's called in 1 Timothy 1:11 the glorious gospel. Or the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. This gospel that I'm preaching right now, let me say this about it. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the glory of God. And this is what it says. Now, if I'm seeking my glory, if you get into your mind that I'm promoting myself and that I'm seeking to glorify myself, you'll despise me. I mean, you'll just quit wanting to leave. You won't want to have anything to do with me. And that, well, it should be that way. If a man seeks his own glory, it's disgusting because there's no glory there for him to seek. It's revolting for a man to do that. But because of who God is, he ought to seek his own glory. And indeed he does. He does what he does for his glory. And the gospel is about the glory of the blessed God. And then we read in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, of the gospel of the grace of God. I love this description, the gospel. The gospel of the grace, the free, unmerited favor of God. Now, when the Bible talks about grace, it's not just some generic term. Talking about electing grace. Talking about redeeming grace. Talking about justifying grace. It's talking about regenerating grace. It's talking about keeping grace. It's talking about glorifying grace. Now, this is the kind of grace I need. First, I need electing grace because I know by nature I'd never choose Him. I just wouldn't do it. Thank God He chose me. I need electing grace. I can't be saved without electing grace. Thank God for election. You know, preachers kind of want to hold it down. I want to get it up there in the front. It's glorious. God chose who to be saved. Let's begin with God. I love electing grace. That's the kind of grace saved me. I love redeeming grace because I can't come up with a sin payment. There's nothing I can do about my sin. But thank God for the redeeming grace, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Justifying grace. I sure can't justify myself. I'm guilty. Can a guilty man justify himself? No. The only way I can be justified is for God to justify me. And being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. I need life-giving grace because I can't give myself life. I need regenerating grace. Grace that calls me from the dead and gives me life and gives me faith and gives me a heart to love Christ. I need regenerating grace because I can't give myself life. I need keeping grace because I can't keep myself. I know for sure if He doesn't keep me, I'm going to fall away. I know that as sure as I'm standing here. If He doesn't preserve me, I'll leave Him. I need glorifying grace. Grace that makes me just like Christ, because I sure can't do that. Now the grace of the Scriptures is grace that takes somebody like me and makes me perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's grace, isn't it? The gospel of the grace of God. And then we read in Romans 10:15 of the gospel of peace. These are just very brief descriptions of the gospel in the Bible, the gospel of peace. You know, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ makes peace with God. That means He's at peace with me. That means there isn't any reason for Him to be mad at me. Not even one. Now, how many times do you think He's got plenty of reason to be mad? But you know, God is at peace with you. He's not mad. He is reconciled.
Yes, sir.
Because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing for Him to be mad at. What's hard to get hold of? It won't work. There's nothing for Him to be mad at. And because of that, you know what? I'm at peace with Him. I can come into His presence with boldness. Now listen to me. How can you come into the presence of God with boldness? If Jesus Christ really is my righteousness, I can come into the presence of God with boldness and expect to be heard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We read in Philippians 1:27 of the faith of the gospel. This is a message to be believed, to be relied upon. Our Lord said, repent and believe the gospel. And then we read in Colossians 1:23 of the hope of the gospel. And what a blessed hope it is. I have a hope. And when I'm talking about hope, I'm not talking about, well, I hope it doesn't snow on the way back. It may, but I hope it doesn't. I'm not talking about hope like that. I'm talking about hope like this. Sometimes I'll tape a ball game. UK wins. I watch that ball game. It's already been, you know, things might be going bad, but I'm not worried. I know who's going to win. Now, I don't take it if they lose. I'm going to watch that. I mean, if they game where they've won, I mean, things may be getting close. I'm not a bit worried. I have confident expectation that they're going to win. How come? Because they've already won. Now this hope I'm speaking of, I have complete confidence because my victory, my salvation has already been accomplished. When our Lord said, it is finished. You know what? It was finished. And that's the hope that every believer has. The hope of the gospel. And here's my favorite one. Romans 16:25, but this is said several other times in Scripture. Paul called the gospel my gospel. My gospel. This is my gospel. This is gospel to me. This is the gospel that gives me hope. This is the gospel that gives me peace. This is the gospel I believe. This is my gospel. What I've been talking about is good news to this sinner talking to you. It is my gospel. Now, what is it to preach the gospel? Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. We see what the gospel is. What does it mean to preach the gospel? Well, preaching is bringing a message from God. For that hour, from His holy word. Well, how can I know if what you're preaching is from God? Well, you've got the Bible to figure it out. You've got the Bible to figure it out. You try what I'm saying according to the Scriptures. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Now, if I'm going to preach the gospel, I must, as Paul, not shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I cannot in one setting bring out every doctrine in the Bible, but if I purposely omit any part of the truth, if I preach one aspect of truth to the exclusion of another, if I only preach half the gospel, I've not preached the gospel at all. Paul said, I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Blessed is the preacher that can say that. And blessed is the people who hear him. To preach the gospel, I must preach the whole counsel of God. And this thing of preaching, it's not merely grinding out the facts. It's testifying. I'm preaching what I've experienced. Now, it's from the Word of God. It's an objective message from the Word of God. But I'm preaching to you what I believe. I'm preaching to you what I've experienced. It's not just grinding out the facts. It's preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's preaching Christ. It's an utterly supernatural thing. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching is communication. It's a message from God, from His Word, for that hour to men. Now listen to this. When I preach, if I'm preaching the way I ought to preach, and your pastor will agree with this, I've already talked to him about it. If I preach, I'm not preaching to unbelievers. I'm not preaching to believers. I'm preaching to men. And I'm trusting God to apply it as He sees fit. I'm persuading you as men, as women, not as believers, not as unbelievers, as men. And I trust God the Holy Spirit to apply it as He sees fit. It's communication. It is understood. Now, if I'm communicating to you, you know what that means? That means you understand what I'm saying. If you think, boy, that was high, that way up there. It was high, right? It was worthless. A message that's not understood is not preaching. It's communication. Paul said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." And he could have also said, "Woe unto you if I preach the gospel and you do not believe it." Now, the gospel is a message to be believed right now. It's calling for a verdict right now. You are to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him right now. Not wait until tomorrow. Right now. Now I want to conclude with this. How do I know that my gospel, the gospel that I preach, the gospel that I preach to you, the gospel that I believe, how do I know that my gospel is the gospel? Because that's a big claim. I'm saying I believe the gospel. I'm saying to you, I preach the very gospel of God. Now, how do I know that the gospel I preach is the gospel? How do you know the gospel that you believe is the gospel? Let me give you these six or seven reasons real briefly. Here's the way I know that my gospel is the gospel. First, because the gospel I preach is true to the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, the gospel I preach lines up with the Passover. God said, when I see the blood, not when you see it, when I see it, I will pass over you. In Leviticus chapter 16, when the great high priest went into the Holy of Holies, whose names did he have on his breastplate? All the world or the children of Israel?
That's right.
I could just go on and on and on and on with examples, but My gospel lines up with the Old Testament scriptures. When Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." And he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. Secondly, I know my gospel is the gospel because my gospel gives God all the glory. And it doesn't give any to man. Third, I know my gospel is the gospel because it tells how God can be absolutely just and yet justify this man who's unjust. My salvation, my hope is not depending, like I said the other night, on God being lenient toward me.
No, sir.
It's not hoping He'll end up being merciful. It's the very justice of God. Fourth, I know my gospel is the gospel because it meets the sinner where he is. Dead. Dead. You know, the Good Samaritan. He came to that man in a ditch. The scripture says where he was. And my gospel comes to me where I am with no strength, dead in sins, and saves me. Fifth, I know my gospel is the gospel because my gospel gives hope to the very chief of sinners. You cannot be too bad to be saved. Isn't that good news? I know my gospel is the gospel because it's a gospel I can die with complete confidence. Now, if Jesus Christ really is all in salvation, and beloved, He is. If He really is all in salvation, if it's all Him, it doesn't have anything to do with my works or my preaching or my anything. It's what He did. If that's the truth, and it is,
that's right.
Then I can die with complete confidence. There's nothing to worry about. The gospel I preach is the gospel because it's a gospel that meets every need that I have. Every need. You know, it may be that I die pauper, maybe even starve to death. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen materially. Might be that I lose everything. It might be that I have, good grief, I've had cancer twice and I'm just waiting for the next thing to come again. I mean, I hate being like that, but I'm just thinking, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for something bad to happen again, you know, and it will, no doubt about it. I mean, it kills me the way people put such an emphasis on physical healing. Something's going to get you. I mean, you're going to die of something, I'll assure you you will. I mean, all this emphasis, I don't know what's going to happen to me physically, materially, but I know this, every need I have is completely supplied in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need mercy, I got it. I need righteousness, I got it. I need grace, I need unmerited favor, I've got it. Every need I have is supplied in my gospel. You see, my gospel, and it's my gospel. When Paul said it's my gospel, Paul, it's just as much mine as it was yours. My gospel actually saves. By grace ye are saved. Thank you.